Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
We thank you very much for joining us, everybody. This is Jim Masters. It's 11 a.m. Eastern here at our broadcast center, May 4th, 2021. And thank you very much for making us a part of your day today. We appreciate that and all the great feedback and comments about our guests and our fantastic episodes that we have daily for you here, multiple episodes a day. Featuring extraordinary people around the world who are doing incredible things to make our world a better place. Somebody who is doing that is Dr. Michael Armour of SLD International, based in Dallas, Texas. We were just having a really extraordinary conversation about this, that, and the other thing just prior to the show, sort of our pre-conversation. He is the founder and managing principal of Strategic Leadership Development International. Dr. Armour has dedicated his life to understanding how to best help leaders tap into their potential. He has worked with more than 700 executives and entrepreneurs and trained thousands more across four continents. He says when he finally sat down and tried to determine what his purpose in the world is and looked at what energized him and gained the most fulfillment from, well, he realized his purpose was to help others succeed by giving them clarity and insight. You know, that's a beautiful thing when that happens, when you realize that you're here to serve others. It's really an extraordinary thing. He wanted to work with people who held strategic decision-making responsibilities. And he says if he could help change someone at the strategic level, what's wonderful about that is that radiates out into improved relationships and motivation at all tiers of the organization, kind of like that ripple effect. You throw the stone in the lake, and then the ripples just go out from there, touching upon everything else. Since 2001, SLDI has been helping managers develop the skills they need to establish a more secure and promising future for themselves. He likes to draw that distinction between leaders and managers more clearly in his work. He started surrounding himself with a team of coaches and trainers who had years and years of management and leadership experience themselves. And out of that, SLDI was born. According to Dr. Armour, which separates leaders from managers, is their ability to clearly answer three questions. Who are your people? Where are you taking them? And how are you equipping them for their journey? If you develop people, but not in the arenas essential for the journey you're taking them on, you've misspent your energy as a leader. He really believes really good leaders find all kinds of ways, directly and indirectly, to convey the message that they really care about you. And that's really, really important. And he and I were just talking about that moments ago. The website is leaderperfect.com. Leaderperfect.com. We'll mention it again during the course of the show. I think it's a great name for a website. It is my pleasure, live and direct from Dallas, Texas, to welcome Dr. Michael Armour to Close Up Radio for this 30-minute conversation, which will probably go by in a New York minute. Dr. Armour, thank you very much for joining us. Welcome to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you. I look forward to it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. And looking forward to this conversation. And you and I were having a tremendous conversation just before we went live on the air. Let's talk about some of the work. First of all, before we talk about the work of Strategic Leadership Development International, from your perspective, you're in the thick of it. This is what you've made, you know, part of your calling in life, your mission, wanting to help people and wanting to mentor them and inspire them. What do you feel, from your perspective, are really those true qualities of a strong and effective leader?
Well, there are certain ones that are absolute musts. You know, there have been evil leaders, there have been righteous leaders. Moral qualities are important, but the more important things are the ability to engage people in a way that captures their commitment and loyalty, and to do so in a way that communicates, as you were saying a moment ago, that the leader really is concerned for the things that the people are concerned about. And then going beyond that, the ability to build trust both in themselves as the leader and trust within the group itself. All great leaders have been able one way or another to unite people in a community in which everyone's got everyone else's back and they sense it. And I think that's probably one of the inescapable things that has to be part of great leadership.
Absolutely right. And that's very important to remember as well. You know, I mentioned some of the inspirations that came to the development or resulted in the development of Strategic Leadership Development International. What were some of the other inspirations and moments in your life that gave you that impetus to create the company? And then tell us a little bit about some of the amazing work that you do.
Well, I got into this in a rather unusual way. In the 1970s, I was living in what was becoming the Silicon Valley, surrounded by a lot of friends who were engineers and software architects in the world that would eventually emerge as the IBM PC and the Apple Macintosh. And these people would come to me and say, you know, you've got a good head for people. You've got a good sense of strategy. I'm really at a point in what I'm doing that I need a sounding board. Could we get together once a month for lunch and let me just play some ideas off of you? I enjoyed doing that. I sort of grew up with the PC industry there as a result. That continued later in other places where people would hear that I was willing to be a sounding board. And then about 1993, I was reading a business journal that spoke of someone who was an executive coach. And I said, what on earth is an executive coach? Read on about four or five paragraphs, and I said, oh, wait a minute. This is what I've been doing for the last 20 years, and people are getting paid to do this. What is wrong with this picture? So I decided at that point that what I wanted to do in the next iteration of my own career was devote full time to coaching leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs. That was really what led to the decision in 2001 to launch the company.
That is terrific, and I'm glad you took the baton and ran with it, which resulted in the creation of the company. Let's talk about the work that you actually do as Strategic Leadership Development International. Obviously, there's a lot of companies out there. There's a lot of coaches out there, a lot of consultants out there. What is it about what you do, your approach, and your perspective that really makes it unique and stands out for your clients?
I have to base this on the feedback that I've gotten from them over the years. One of the things that they find is extremely helpful is that I myself have been a leader all of my life. I was one of the youngest college presidents in the United States in my 30s. By then, I had already founded a private school and been a dean at a prestigious West Coast university. I've gone on to be the CIO for some national intelligence communities and the CEO of an international humanitarian organization. So I have the experience walking in their shoes. And not only do I have that experience, which gives me credibility in their eyes, that diversity of backgrounds gives me a lot of stories and examples to draw from that help them understand more fully the principles that I'm outlining or the actions I'm recommending that they take. So I think one of the things in a day in which almost anyone can hang out his or her shingle as an executive coach, but may not bring to that anything other than largely theoretical experience with leadership from reading books, listening to podcasts, going to seminars. In lieu of that, what I'm bringing is really rubber meets the road experience in the tough scenarios that leaders have to deal with. And that's one of the things that then I think sets us apart from the multitude of coaches that I often run into. Not that they're people who are not able to do a good coaching job. Many of them are really outstanding, but they just don't have that experiential background that I think helps clients relate to the relevance of what it is you're encouraging them to do. When I started the company, I built it around those kinds of people. I required two things of the trainers and coaches that we formed the nucleus around originally, and that was they had to have years of C-level experience themselves, or near C-level experience at least, and they had to have successfully coached for at least 5 years. I wanted them to bring that combined skill set together so we would have credibility with the clients that we engaged.
That's tremendous. That's a great approach. Leadership responsibilities really do reveal who a person is. A lot of leaders are really just managing the day-to-day, not necessarily inspiring or empowering, which is a very, very important thing because, as you know, as the expert in this, when you're inspiring and empowering and when people feel heard and appreciated, they're going to want to be a participant even more. They feel invested in the dream, the vision, the mission, the company, and they want to roll up their sleeves and probably even be more productive than maybe they are because they feel supported, heard, and understood. But oftentimes managers, maybe just because of the busyness of their day or maybe the lack of understanding and training, they're just managing the day-to-day to try to just get through the day versus really leading, right?
Yes, and part of the problem is that there is a great confusion as to what the distinction is between managing and leading. You know, when I first started teaching leadership courses when I was in my 20s, if you went to the average Barnes & Noble type bookstore and looked for books on leadership, it was maybe four or five titles. But there was a wall of books on management. And there were a number of factors that contributed to that, but we were enamored in the 60s, 70s, and into the early 80s with the concept of management. And it was only when, Bemis and others began to publish books on leadership in the late 80s that suddenly we started talking about leadership in corporate America. And in a short period of time, the younger executives didn't want to be known as managers. They wanted to be known as leaders. And corporations complied with that wish by simply going through and rebaptizing everybody. So yesterday you were part of the management committee. Today you're part of the leadership team. But nothing changed insofar as the criteria for promotion, for bonusing, the training remained basically the same. So that by the time I opened SLDI, I was running into people in Fortune 100 companies that I was working with who considered themselves great leaders because they had been called one for 10 or 12 years. When I looked at what they were doing, they were simply very effective managers. And it was out of trying to help them understand the distinction between those two functions that the three questions you mentioned in the introduction emerged. I wanted to ask someone, who are your people? And I don't mean can you name them or do you recognize them on sight. I mean, do you know what makes them tick? Why are they working here instead of for your competitor? What is it that causes them to leave at the end of the day and say, man, I'm glad I'm part of this team? What makes your people tick? Who are your people? Second, where are you taking them? The word leader implies I'm going someplace and I want you to go with me. So how clear are you on where you're going and how clear are they on where you're taking them? And then no general would take his soldiers into war without having them equipped for it. Neither should a leader take on a mission without having the workers equipped for it. And so the third question how are you equipping them for the journey becomes critically important. And what I find is that a lot of people who are good managers are fairly clear on those first two questions. They know their people fairly well. They have a sense of where they would like to take them. But when I ask the question, what are you doing to equip them for the journey, they start fumbling for distinct and concise answers to that question. It's that question that gets thought through, I think, less often than the others. But until we are answering all three with precision, we're not really positioned to be a leader. We're doing a great job of managing. And we need great managers. The metaphor that I use is that it's not an either-or between leadership or management. It's a both-and. And it's like riding a bicycle with two pedals. Can you ride a bicycle with only one pedal? Yeah. I'm right by White Rock Lake here in Dallas, and riding around the lake one day, I lost a pedal on a bicycle. And I could ride it with one pedal. It was not very artful. It was not very efficient, but I could ride it with one pedal. Management and leadership are two pedals on the bicycle. And one carries the bulk of the load at one moment. The other carries the bulk of the load at another moment. And the job of the executive is to know, when do I put the pressure on the leadership pedal? When do I put the pressure on the management pedal? And how do I keep the two of them working in sync?
Exactly right. Yeah, it's often a balancing act. And you and I were talking about even the definition of an effective leader and how it's really changed in a very positive way. I mean, middle management is really the time to teach them. That's the biggest population in most organizations, but oftentimes, I guess, almost cost prohibitive. So tell us a little bit about, again, some of the ways that you're able to work with them and sort of empower them in the way that you do so incredibly.
Well, one of the things that we've done from the very beginning, and I particularly enjoy, is combining both coaching with training. So that we are giving them some economy of scale that wouldn't be possible if we were providing a coach for every middle manager. And that's been a pretty cost-effective approach. In a company that's rather sizable and has multiple tiers of management, we will often take that training and we'll break it into three cohorts. The first cohort is the people who are first-time managers or first-time supervisors, because that transition to the first-time management responsibilities is a very critical one for people to make well. The second cohort is people who are managers of managers, because that's a different level of management and leadership responsibilities than the frontline and first-time managers are facing. Then the third cohort are the C-levels and the direct reports to the C-levels. They become a third cohort. And we put all three groups through conceptually the same training, but we adapt the concepts to the particular level of responsibility that they have so that it becomes extremely relevant. And then usually these companies will ask me with each of those cohorts to coach a certain number of them who are their highest potential managers in their judgment so that they can further equip these people for what the company envisions for them in the future. So that's been one way that we've done it. One of the things that I have done that I know very few executive coaches have done is I've helped very large companies, even Fortune 100 companies, and many smaller mid-sized companies develop their own internal mentoring program, help them build the structure, build the guidelines they would use for selecting mentees and mentors, train the mentors in what they're doing, and set up a means of monitoring that process so that the company doesn't have to depend on outside resources like mine in order to provide a healthy mentoring atmosphere that's equipping their people for the journey.
That's tremendous. That's really a terrific approach. You know, when you work with somebody, is it typically one-on-one or are you in group settings? How does the conversation actually begin, Doctor?
Many times it starts one-on-one and then expands because a good example, I coached a man who was the COO of a national construction company. A little later, he became president, and at that point, he asked me to start coaching his high-potential managers in his organization. Later, he became CEO, and the coaching broadened to other elements of the company, and now that he had responsibility there. So sometimes it's an outgrowth to multiple people from an engagement with one. Other times, particularly when you've got a new team that's coming together as a result of a merger or an acquisition, and you now have people from two different corporate cultures trying to work together as a team, the difficulty of merging those cultures will lead them to reach out to me for team building. And part of that team building will be that I will not only coach them as a team, but I will coach them individually so that I can have conversations with them that are offline from the conversations with everyone else and allow them to deal with questions, concerns, issues that perhaps they're not ready to voice right now in front of everyone else because the team and the trust are still forming and they're not absolutely willing to be transparent about everything that's on their heart. So it takes a variety of forms. Everything is customized to the particular culture, the particular moment in the company's history, and to the particular needs of the people that we're going to be working with.
That's tremendous. The future for SLDI, are you entering sort of a transitional phase for the company?
Well, actually, I am in a transition in that early in 2011, I opened a subsidiary in Kigali, Rwanda, and began to develop leadership training programs for leaders both in the political realm and the business realm, initially in East Africa, although it also came to expand to other areas. And I really pursued that for 5 or 6 years and didn't really keep my focus on things here in the U.S. During that period of time, most of the people who had been on my team reached an age where they decided that they wanted to retire or they encountered health problems that they needed to step out. And so when I came back from the work in Africa, I found not only that my team had changed and had become much, much smaller, but the coaching environment had changed quite a bit. And so what I'm doing now is that I'm limiting the scope of what we do to a number of clients that I and a small cadre of people can go in and really help effectively. And we're not just broadcasting and saying we're here to help any and everyone. And so what we're looking for are companies whose leaders realize that they are in the midst of a transition or need to go through a transition, and they need an experienced team to coach them and others in their organization to make that transition effectively. The change management piece of it is something that we are particularly good at helping people work through. So that's more nearly the future. It's going to be a more defined, a narrower focus, and because I'm reaching a point where retirement is not too many years away, I'm working more and more in taking the intellectual property that I've developed over the years of leadership and leadership training and coaching and putting them in a deliverable form online so that when I'm no longer doing this full-time, those resources that people have found helpful will be still available to those who would like to utilize them.
That's terrific. It sounds really exciting as well, and you've worked long and hard towards all of that. Congratulations. You know, obviously COVID, we've got about 5 minutes left to the show, but with COVID, that has changed so many variables, people working from home and companies sort of realigning themselves, even people themselves looking in the mirror and saying, you know, do I want to keep doing what I'm doing and how I'm doing it? Do I want to reposition? Do I want to try something new? And with COVID, you're seeing who doesn't really require supervision and who could really benefit from, you know, maybe not having to get in the car, park at a train station, subway,
right,
elevator. How is the person supposed to be efficient when 3 hours of the day is getting to and from work? A sea change in leadership and just in the way we're conducting our business in this 12-month period has been extraordinary. Sort of interesting to see what happens. Do you have an idea, sort of, how we're going to continue to work through all of these swift changes?
Well, you are right. It is an interesting transition. In fact, I addressed it in my most recent podcast, talking about the leaders needing to be aware that the workforce that's coming back together is not the workforce that they had before we dissipated into separate workplaces and working largely alone. That there are going to be people coming back who have learned that they enjoy working at home and know they can work at home very productively and want to, and will resent being in the workplace. Others who will be glad to be back because they have missed the one-on-one interaction that's regular throughout the day. They're tired of Zoom calls, and they know that they function better when there is supervision that's nearby. So you're right. We've got a whole new set of challenges, and that's one of the things that I'm already beginning to help some companies with, is how they manage this new worker, even though it's an old worker, but an old worker coming back with a new set of attitudes and recognitions about their capability and their preferences.
That's terrific. So it's all really set up and ready to go. You know, obviously, whatever the leader wants the work environment to really be, would you say, you know, it all comes with, you know, sometimes it's a mix of good, mix of bad, but if there's a clear vision and an understanding of the needs of the employees and the company as a whole can really benefit from that, right? Like we were saying, the old vision of the leader being the boss in that big ivory tower up at the top that you never really engage with and doesn't engage with you, that's really been changing in a positive direction.
It has. And one of the things that I would add to your emphasis on vision is emphasis on clarity on values. The cultural clash that comes in mergers and acquisitions is often because the two companies may have the same values, but as they come together, they discover they didn't prioritize them the same way, or maybe they didn't even share the same values to begin with, but they never evaluated that in considering the merger. Well, the same thing happens in leading any group of people. We've got to be united on our values, or we won't be approaching the vision with the same set of priorities.
Perfectly said. Absolutely. You see why you're so in demand and so effective at what you do, Doctor. We encourage folks to make contact. We are just really scratching the surface here, and hopefully we'll have the doctor back and explore more here, maybe some success stories. But the website is www.leaderperfect.com, leaderperfect.com. I encourage you to peruse and to engage and connect with the doctor. Really is extraordinary as, again, we go through these monumental transitions. Maybe you need to reach out for some help and some guidance. And Dr. Michael Armour is there, founder and managing principal of Strategic Leadership Development International. He's dedicated his life to understanding how to best help leaders tap into their potential, and he's worked with more than 700 executives and entrepreneurs and trained thousands more across four continents. Doctor, this was really a pleasure and an honor to have you here on the show, and we thank you very much for spending time with us, and I hope we do get a chance to engage again down the line. That would be a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much for your questions and for the opportunity. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
As did I, Doctor, as did I. You be well, you take care, and good luck with everything, and I hope we chat again soon. Here is that website, everybody, leaderperfect.com. Jim Masters here, thanking you for your time. This time till next time. Stay tuned. I'll be back in less than 30 minutes with another amazing guest right here on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for being with us, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.